I want to talk to you today from the subject, forgive and forget. I have my congregation help me preach my sermon. This is very informal. We do a lot of purposeful repetition because we want to convey these positive ideas to your subconscious mind. When you come to one of these meetings, we give you something that you can begin to use right on the spot to change your life, to make it better, to enrich your life. And now, from Philippians, the third chapter, the 13th and 14th verses, I read. And I'm going to have you repeat this after me for emphasis. But this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. And reaching forth. Unto those things which are before.
I press
toward the mark.
Forgetting those things which are behind.
I press toward the mark. Now from Proverbs, the 28th chapter and the 13th verse. Will you repeat it after me? He that covereth his sins
shall not prosper.
But whoso confesses
and forsakes his sin
shall have mercy.
Forgive and forget.
In this business of forgiving and forgetting, you must first learn to forgive yourself and forget your mistakes.
I have discovered in my ministry that one of the most difficult things to get people to do is to forgive themselves. Some people are so unforgiving toward themselves. And you know, when a person deep down in his own heart and mind fails to forgive himself, he thinks that God will not forgive him. I know of people who have prayed and prayed and prayed for years, asking God to forgive them for things that perhaps they did or were involved in years and years ago. If you feel that God has not forgiven you, and you have turned your back on your mistake, it is a sure sign that you have not forgiven yourself.
I want to say that again more slowly, because this is what some of you need to set you free from a guilt complex.
If you have turned your back on your past error, on your past misdeeds, and you feel that God has not forgiven you, it is a sure sign that you have not forgiven yourself. The Almighty will not hold anything against you that you repent of if you forgive yourself. And as long as you hold negative things of the past against yourself, you will hold yourself down into a rut, down into a negative pattern where you will continue to repeat your mistakes. Notice the book says, he who covers his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes his sin shall have mercy. It means, for example, if you're going down the wrong road, there's no need for you to say, oh, no, I'm not going down the wrong road, and continue to go down the wrong road. Acknowledge, oh, yes, this is the wrong way, and turn around and go the right way. Psychiatrists call man's failure to forgive himself a guilt complex. And I know people in Beverly Hills and Hollywood who spend years and years and thousands upon thousands of dollars on psychiatrist couches trying to get rid of a guilt complex. I told them about this in Beverly Hills during my seminar the last time. I taught those fancy, rich Beverly Hills people how to forgive themselves. And it helped the psychiatrists out there also. Because, you know, the psychiatrists out there have more patients than they can handle. See, sometimes out there people get rich so quick they don't know what to do with it. So that troubles their minds too. They become stars and famous so fast until sometimes they can't adjust to that. But one of the big causes of mental dis-ease is the guilt complex. A person refusing to forgive himself. There's some things that I want you to write in your hearts and on paper because this is a teaching church. As a matter of fact, this church is a school. This is why we call it the Science of Living Institute. Here we learn to live. A guilt complex always brings punishment. A guilt complex demands and draws punishment. If you feel guilty about something within your heart and within your mind, be sure that you are asking for punishment and you are going to get it. This is why many times, you know, you can't judge. Sometimes people say, I don't see why such and such a thing happened to such and such a person. He or she seems so nice. It may be true, but there are a lot of nice people who have guilt complex. This is why the scripture tells us, judge not. Some of the nicest people in the world. Perhaps their mother or father passed on 10 years ago, and they did everything they could to help their father or their mother. But down in their minds, they're still grieving and worrying. I wonder if I did everything I could. If you feel guilty about something that you either did or did not do for anyone who has passed on, you had better settle it and settle it quickly. Because as long as you have that guilt in your mind, it's going to draw punishment to you, and it will draw punishment to you from sources and from people that seem completely unconnected to you. This is why many times, if things just keep happening and keep happening and keep happening, you'd better search your mind to see if you're carrying a guilt complex. And if you feel guilty, maybe there is some wrong that you did to someone who's passed on. Well, there is nothing you can do about that now but what? Forgive yourself. And if you don't forgive yourself, you're going to keep drawing punishment to you. That guilt complex will go out as a vibration into the universal subconscious and will get into people and even into dogs and make them bite you. Will cause you to be at the wrong place at the wrong time, where the wrong bullet is flying. I want to say this again, and I want you to write this down and remember. Guilt must be canceled from the mind. A punishment will result. Guilt must be canceled from the mind. A punishment will result. Now, we do not cancel guilt from the mind by covering our sins, as the Bible says, or by doing wrong and trying to make wrong right. We don't do that. That won't work. Because you see, there is something in you, that spirit of the living God in you that knows what is right. And when you violate it, it will let you know. But guilt must be canceled from the mind. A punishment will result. And again, I want to repeat, guilt in the mind can draw punishment in so many different ways that you won't have the slightest idea why. This brings to mind again a song that I use to demonstrate this from time to time. You remember there's an old so-called spiritual that says, I wonder what have I done to make my race so hard to run. It could be that you're going around with a guilt complex. Be sure that you settle the guilt question. Now I'm going to deal with some of the different ways that organized religion in its different branches helps mankind to deal with the guilt question. In the Catholic Church, there's a wonderful modus operandi for dealing with the guilt question. Every Saturday night, there is confession before communion on Sunday. I think it's a good idea. And it would help the psychiatrist a lot if some of you good Catholics would go and unload on Saturday nights. I know a good deal about this because I was in the chaplain section in the United States Air Force. And it has been my privilege to assist Catholic, Protestant, and Jewish chaplains. And so this is one way that one of the branches of organized religion helps man to cope with his guilt. You go and confess it. Many times the priest will give a penance. In other words, something that you're to do. Maybe it will be to stop and say Hail Marys before each station of the cross around the church. But there's mind science, you see, behind all of this, because all of this helps you to make a mental transaction. And after you've confessed your sin and said, I'm wrong, and you've been advised by the priest, and you do what he said do there in the church among all of the spiritual symbols, your mind clears. Now, that will not necessarily work for everybody. It wouldn't work for me at this point. But for those of you that it worked for, good, fine. And I do think that it's healthy. It's a mentally healthy practice. There's the Day of Atonement in the Jewish religion. And it's also an opportunity for a person to clear his slate, get rid of his sins, and to start over anew. And under the old system, there was a scapegoat upon which all of the sins of the people were placed, and he bore them away. In the Christian religion, Jesus was a great mind scientist. And Jesus understood the need to do something about guilt. Jesus understood that the world as a whole had a great guilt complex. And so Jesus accepted the entire guilt complex for everybody in the world who wanted to place their guilt complex upon him and died on the cross so that those who would accept that particular cancellation for guilt could be free. I want to give you a summation of this whole thing, regardless of what system you belong to. I don't belong to any of them. Please write this down. The true purpose of every religious system of forgiveness is to help man release himself from guilt. And I want to get back to Jesus for just a moment. Though Jesus realized that the world and mankind had a guilt complex, Jesus himself had no guilt complex. Why? Because Jesus had the Son of God consciousness. And you see, when you have the Son of God consciousness, that does away with guilt, because you realize that your divine self has never sinned. And that's where I am. He knew no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. You see, my divine nature has never sinned. My divine nature doesn't need any forgiveness. And truly, when I forgive, it means I give up the sense of human self and accept the divine self, which has never sinned. It is the human sense of self that is born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But the divine self, the Son of God nature of every man, has never sinned. And you see, this is again what Jesus meant when he said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Say with me, my divine self has never sinned. My Son of God nature has never sinned. And when you fall into error, it means that for that moment you've turned aside from your divine nature. You've turned aside from your divine self. Here again is the parable of the prodigal son. What was really his only sin? The fact that he turned from his father. He turned from his divine sonship. And when he came back to the father, saying, Father, forgive me, and I'm not even worthy to be your son. The father didn't even hear that. What did the father say? This is my son. In other words, boy, you have a relationship to me which has never changed. And all you have to do is give up human self and accept divine self. But you see, there are still people who need some of the temporary crutches of organized religion. Jesus tried to help you. I don't know if he'd try it again. Moses tried to help you. And he missed the promised land, trying to get other folks to go. Jesus let them crucify him. He said, here I am. I'll die for all your sins. They hung him high and stretched him wide. The world still wouldn't be saved. Moses led the children, led by God, to the very brinks of the promised land. And they got on his nerves so bad that when the Lord told him to speak to the rock, those church folks had gotten on his nerves so much he struck the rock. Said, come on here and drink, you rebels. God said, well, that little disobedience is going to cause you not to go in. Back to forgive and forget for a moment. Please write this down. Never indulge in self-persecution. People have the habit of persecuting themselves. Oh,
Why did I do that? And some of you, God is tired of hearing you apologize. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. Forgive me.
Say it once. Forgive, and then do what?
Forget. And don't keep persecuting yourself for something. There are a lot of you here right now that are persecuting yourselves for something that you did or something that happened long ago. Stop it. Because self-persecution brings on self-depreciation, self-rejection, mental and spiritual dis-ease. There are a lot of people in the nut house right now. Why? Because they persecuted themselves. Some people persecute themselves because they couldn't live up to somebody else's standards. You'd better learn to go within the presence of God in you and set your own ethical and moral standards. When you find the presence and power of God within you, it'll lead you and teach you how to be decent. Forgive and forget. And in this business of forgiving and forgetting, there are some people that you need to forget. But forgive them first.
Uh-oh.
And let me tell you this, you can't really forget them until you forgive them. When you forgive, then you can really forget.
But you can't forget until you forgive. You need to do as that old spiritual says, loose that man and let him go.
Many of you sitting here right now, you need to forgive all of the SOBs in your past. Every one of them.
Forgive and forget.
Give up hatred and hatred.
I remember when I used to talk about hatred, and people would say, "What's that?" Well, let me tell you, hatred is just as bad as hatred. There's some of you dear little sanctified people that wouldn't dare hate anybody. Some of you saints wouldn't dare hate anybody. "Oh, Reverend, I don't hate anybody." No, but you are hurting. I call that hatred. Your feelings are still hurt.
And you go around with your feelings dragging, and they get stepped on all the time.
You have to give up your hatred and your hatred.
And again, a hatred is a long-standing feeling of being offended.
"Well, I don't hate him, but I'll never forget what he done to me." That's hatred. And that's just as bad as hatred. You have to forgive and forget that. So that you can sing that old song that Hank Snow sings, "I don't hurt anymore. All my teardrops are dry. No more walking the floor with that hurting inside. Just to think it could be, time has opened the door. And it's wonderful now. I don't hurt anymore." Yes, perhaps there's some people in your life now that you just keep bothering with that you ought to forget. Some of them, if you'd forget them, they'd get better. Some of the people you're trying to save, if you'd leave them alone, they'd take care of themselves. Some of the people that some of these religious people are trying to save don't get saved because they don't give the Lord a chance to save them, because they're in the way trying to save themselves.
I rode on the airplane with a missionary going to a convention a few months ago, and she said, "Oh, Reverend Ike, my husband isn't saved. What must I do about that?" I said, "Leave him alone." She said, "What?" I said, "Yes, leave him alone." I said, "In the next place, who says that he's not saved? You say he's not saved because he doesn't belong to your church? You say he's not saved because he doesn't dance by your music? You say he's not saved because he doesn't believe in your church dogma and doctrine?" You know, that's what people mean, you know. There are also some things that you need to forget. Let go of your sadness. Let go of your grief. Let go of your bereavement. Let go of your brokenheartedness. Stop recalling the dirty deals done to you. As long as you hold on to the memory of a negative experience in your life, you will compel negative experiences to continue to happen. Go around talking about that dirty deal that somebody did you 4 months ago, and somebody else is going to be drawn to you to do you another dirty deal. Then you talk about that again, and you talk about that so much. And then after a while, you keep saying, "I don't know why everybody treats me so bad." It's because you won't let go of the idea of being badly treated. Whenever somebody does something that I don't think that's fair toward me, I very quickly let it go. Because as long as I hold on to it and remember it and feed on it, it becomes a festering sore and it will hold me back. But as quickly as I can forgive and forget, the sooner it's over and I'm ready to move on. Let's do some work on this. We're going to do some forgetting and some forgiving. While you're forgetting, you need to forget some of your excuses. This year, and I think it's out there on the wall of the palace, I had these words put up in the kitchen in one of my residences, and I think it's on the wall out there. The words are something like this. There is nothing so bad as a good excuse. The better the excuse, the worse it is. Remember that. There's nothing so bad as a good excuse. The better the excuse, the worse it is. Forget your excuses. Well, I would like to be such and such a thing, but forget that but. As Reverend Ike preached some time ago, get that but out of the way. It's your but, so get your but out of the way. That Reverend Ike is something else. Who'd have the nerve to say things like that in a sermon in church? Some of you have cried over the same misfortunes year in and year out long enough. Some of you are still crying because your mama died 10 years ago.
Yeah, I'm getting low now.
Some of you are still crying because your dog died. Some of you are still weeping and mourning like the Australian Aborigine that someone found in the great outback in Australia. And he was there just weeping and wailing and mourning. And somebody went over to him and said, "What are you mourning and weeping and crying for?" He said, "My boomerang won't come back." "What? What? My boomerang won't come back." Give up your sadness. Give up your grief. Yes, give up your bereavement. Give up your brokenheartedness. Some of you ladies had one misfortune in love when you were young. You swore you would never love again, and you never have. You need to forgive and forget. You've let life pass you by. You've let love pass you by because of one bad experience. I say, give up your brokenheartedness. And if you give up your brokenheartedness, the God in you would heal your heart. And show you how to love and be loved. The reason the wounds in your heart won't heal is because you keep digging in that wound. Because one man did you wrong, you believe that every man is a dog. And as long as you believe that every man is a dog, you will attract only dogs. As long as you believe that everybody is a liar, you will attract liars. As long as you believe that everybody is dishonest, you will attract dishonest people. Forgive and forget. Believe in the goodness of God within your own heart, within your own mind, within your own soul. And when you believe in the goodness of God within your own being, you will attract this goodness of God from other people. Believe in health. Believe in youth and vitality. And you will invoke it from within the presence of God in you. Believe in happiness. Believe that the joy of the Lord is your strength. God will bubble out of you like a bottle of French champagne. You'll share your happiness with others and you will attract happy people to you. You gotta watch yourself. If you're always attracting these old miserable sad sacks, there's something wrong with you. And as I've told you before now, when you attract these old sad sack people, you either cheer them up or put them down. You serve everybody notice that comes into your life. If there's some improvement that they need to make, you simply say, "Okay, I'm either going to help you up or put you down." And you do either one quickly. Don't mess around. Use the motto, "If you won't let me pull you up, I'm not going to let you pull me down." And it is our business to help one another, to love one another, to pull one another up. But every once in a while, somebody doesn't want to come up. And so he's dead weight. Let him go. Loose that man and let him go. My mother used to tell me about a young boy who saw an old man drowning. So the young fella jumped into the creek in his Sunday clothes and pulled the old man out, pressed the water out of his gills. Soon as the old fella caught his breath and, and cleared his lungs, he felt his beard and looked up at the young man and said to him, "Look how you tore my beard." The young man saved his life. And he's talking about, "Look how you tore my beard." He wasn't interested in being saved. Once again, and I want to be redundant on this point, don't mess around with people. Find out quickly that basic attitude you're dealing with. If this is someone that wants to be helped, help them. Place your hands in a receptive position. Let's get ready to do some work. Repeat this after me. Right here and right now.
Right here and right now.
I clear my mind.
I clear my mind.
Of all hatred.
And hatred.
I don't need anything in my mind.
I don't need anything in my mind.
Like guilt.
Like guilt.
Hatred.
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 I forgive myself first.
I forgive myself first.
For every mistake.
For every mistake.
For every shortcoming,
for every failure,
by the authority of God in me,
by the authority of God in me,
I forgive myself,
I forgive myself,
freely,
freely,
clearly,
clearly,
altogether.
Altogether.
And this sets me free.
And this sets me free.
To go forward.
To go forward.
To be what I want to be.
To be what I want to be.
To do what I want to do.
To do what I want to do.
And to have what I want to have.
And have what I want to have.
And in forgiving myself.
And in forgiving myself.
I extend this same forgiveness to everybody else in my life.
I extend the same forgiveness to everybody in my life.
I hold nothing against myself.
I hold nothing against myself.
And I say to everyone else.
I say to everyone else.
I hold nothing against you.
I hold nothing against you.
To all of those that I thought did me wrong.
Let you go.
I loose you. Oh, I felt that. I loose you in the name of love. And in loosing you,
I loose myself.
Thank you, God, in me.
Now I make it a point to forget some things.
I turn my back on sadness.
Turn my face to the light.
I turn my face away from grief.
I turn from bereavement.
I give up brokenheartedness.
And the love of God heals every brokenhearted spirit.
I give up the memory of every dirty deal.
And I believe in the honesty of God.
And that makes me honest.
And it compels everyone else to be honest with me.
I believe in the honesty of God.
Thank you, God, in me. I forgive.
I forgive.
I forget.
I forget.
And I am ready.
For new experiences.
Of health.
Health.
Happiness.
Happiness.
Love.
Love.
Success.
Success.
And prosperity.
And prosperity.
Oh, I feel something now. Some things are happening, and I want to tell you. I'll never forget when I taught forgiveness one evening here in a class. A lady was here, and I think she'd had leukemia. She was being treated for it at that time, and I taught forgiveness. She'd held something against her ex-husband for a long time. You see, he was the SOB in her life. And don't look at me. You had yours before I helped you get rid of him a moment ago. She forgave him right here. When she went back to the clinic that week, they discovered the leukemia was gone. One of the most dramatic cases I've ever seen was the case of a lady in her 70s, a sanctified lady preacher in New Orleans, Louisiana. She was sick on her bed, so sick she prayed to die, skin and bone. They grabbed her up and put her on a cot and brought her to the meeting the very first night that I was in New Orleans, and I preached on forgiveness. She laid there on a couch and she prayed. She said, "Now, Lord," she said, "you know I don't hate anybody." She said, "but you know, Lord," she says, "there's some boys that make noise around this house and throw rocks and break out the windows." She said, "now, Lord," she says, "you know, I don't hate them, but that hurts me." Said, "now, that's a hurt for the Reverend is talking about." She said, "Lord, I forgive them." And the moment she said that, that old sanctified Holy Ghost power that she used to feel when she was preaching gave her one big whop. And up off of that cot, she jumped. And I mean, that woman literally flew around that building. It took able-bodied men to chase Mother Goins down to give her testimony. And every time I'd go back to New Orleans, she's gaining weight and doing fine. She's back, going back to preaching the last time I was there. You see, she didn't hate anybody, but she had hatred. No hatred, but hatred. The last one that I'll have a chance to tell you about is Earl Milton in San Francisco. He was here with us a few Sundays ago. For about 10 years, he had had a job making $150 a week. Pretty good in those days for a black man working in an automobile shop. But he felt that somebody did something underhanded to him so that he was done out of that job. He didn't hate anybody, but he was hurt. Came to my meeting at Cow Palace, feeling hurt about that. I preached about forgiveness. He forgave. And not only did he forgive, but he gave. Like a nut, he gave me $25 out of his unemployment check that Sunday. But that next week, he got himself a job at the Ford dealer as a salesman, started off that first week and made $500 that week. I'm talking about forgiving and forgetting now. Don't move, because I'm going to bless you today. When he went to the Ford dealer after leaving me on that Sunday, told him he wanted a job, the Ford dealer says, "now look, I'm going to be fair and square with you. The economy is slow, and if I hire you and you don't work out and have to let you go, the NAACP is going to be after me. The Urban League is going to be after me, and up there in San Francisco, maybe even the Black Panthers." He said, "listen, I'll make a deal with you. You hire me, give me a chance. And if I don't work out, you won't have to fire me. You won't have to say a word. I'll just leave." The man said, "you've got a deal." Turned around, walked out of the office, and sold a car the first hour. From that dealership, he went to another dealership, a Buick dealership, and became the number one Buick salesman in the entire San Francisco Bay Area. He was here visiting with us a few weeks ago because he was in Detroit, Michigan, going to dealership school at Ford Motor Company. When I was in Detroit the last time, I had dinner with him and one of the executives of the Ford Motor Company in Grosse Pointe on the banks of Lake Sinclair. And he graduated from Ford dealership school. How did it all begin? This man forgave and forgot. Raise your hand. And now the presence, the power, the joy, the love, the peace, the goodness, the blessing, the health the happiness, the success, the prosperity, all that God is, go with you, above you, beneath you, around you, behind you, within you, before you, and make smooth, beautiful, and perfect your way.